And welcome back to Coast, fascinating discussion with Stanley Bing. Well, we've got another one coming up with Dr. Carol Osborne as we talk about the paranormal power of pets next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Dr. Carol Osborne is an author, world-renowned veterinarian of 20-plus years, a pioneer in anti-aging medicine and longevity research for pets. After graduating from Ohio State's College of Veterinary Medicine, Carol, of course, completed a very prestigious internship at the Columbus Zoo. Shortly afterwards, she launched a very successful private practice, became founder and director of a not-for-profit organization called the American Pet Institute, and Dr. Carol offers traditional veterinary care for dogs and cats with a natural touch, and her approach highlights the importance of nutrition and holistic avenues as well. Welcome to Coast, Dr. Carol Osborne. Hi, Carol.
Hey, George, I'm delighted to join you.
You're in the Midwest. You must be freezing like I am in St. Louis right now.
It's very nippy here. We're below zero, and it's a good time to make sure that your pets are inside being kept nice and warm.
You know what? I wanted to ask you about just general animals, Carol. You know, I live in a region where, you know, there's squirrels all over the place. Now, when it gets down to minus 7 degrees, what happens to them?
Well, they find cozy little niches located all over the environment that you and I aren't even aware of, that keep them warm and protect them from the elements until things warm up a little bit. So those animals are prepared for this, and they know how to handle it.
So they're smart enough to survive in this kind of weather, much more than we are, probably.
Absolutely. Dogs and cats, on the other hand, are not, and they depend on you and I to take care of them, and this is not a good temperature for any pet to be outside in.
Years ago, I was on a date, we were talking, and I asked her, if she had any pets, and because I always look at that as a barometer. And
sure.
She said, pets? Like what, dogs and cats? And I went, yeah. And she went, I hate animals.
Aww.
And Carol, I got up, I paid the bill. I should have walked out, but I got up, paid the bill, and I left. That was it. How could you hate an animal? You don't have to own one. I've owned dogs, but because of my travel schedule now, I can't own one right now. But you don't have to own a pet. But how could you not love that animal? I don't get it.
Well, they don't call dogs man's best friend for nothing, and an animal that loves us as much as we love them, a best friend from day one, and I think that somebody with a mindset like that is just missing out on one of the best things life has to offer, and that's the love of a pet.
Tell me about the paranormal or the psychic part of a pet.
Well, for dogs, sensing the supernatural is natural, because unlike you and I, George, they don't judge it. They just accept it. They either react or they don't.
Now tell me more.
what are the powers? What are the psychic or the paranormal powers that pets possess? Similar to the powers you and I have, a little more tuned in. Precognition, the ability to be able to know that an event is going to happen in the future, such as when mom and dad are going to come home and they're sitting right there waiting for you. Clairvoyance, being able to perceive a vet that's going to occur at a future point in time. Maybe you're 10 miles away and you've been injured, and yet some way that dog finds you and helps you get out of the situation that you're in, as well as telepathy, communication using the mind. In fact, the way that we communicate with a deceased favored pet on the other side is, in fact, through telepathy.
How did you stumble across this? Just by being around animals so much?
Just by being around animals and talking to people and unfortunately dealing with sick pets and going through the grieving and the euthanasia process. And these are topics that come up because it's a very difficult thing to, say goodbye to somebody that's lived with you for 15 years, for example, longer than many people are married and have children. And because of that, people are always, you know, having this experience or that experience, or lying in bed and, you know, feeling a body brush up or snuggle against them. You know, even having another pet within the home that suddenly is staring in a particular direction, or barks or whimpers or cries when you and I are right there in the area and we perceive, you know, nothing that is abnormal. You know, and some people, some scientists and skeptics, they say, well, you know, maybe it's the result of the keen ears and an exceptional nose and eyes that can detect the most minute details. And even though those sensory perceptive apparatuses are much more sensitive than ours, there are still a multitude of experiences that go beyond what we can reasonably, you know, put a definition on and apply scientific data to. And that is where we come into this, you know, paranormal area with pets and people.
There are some animals, cats specifically, that can sense cancers and even death. There was a story I had a couple years ago of a cat in a hospital that would seem to know who was going to die and kind of cuddle up with them. Amazing.
You know, it is amazing. In fact, with some of these cancers, breast, prostate, and lung cancer at the top of the list, these animals, dogs and cats, are able to detect cancer with greater than a 98% accuracy in many cases. And as you and I both know, early detection gives anyone a better chance for a cure. So if a man can put together a machine that's as good as that canine nose, I think we'll really be on a much better path as far as early detection of things like cancer. You know, it's the same apparatus that dogs use to detect bombs, you know, narcotics, et cetera.
Yeah.
A dog has 200 million little smell cells, olfactory cells. You and I, we've only got 5 million. Their sense of smell is 10,000 times greater than yours or mine.
Jeez.
That's huge.
Yeah, it really is. There was a report out a couple weeks ago that said that dogs might be smarter than cats. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that's a matter of perception, and I think it's a different type of smart, where cats are much more independent, and dogs, of course, are more dependent upon you and I. I think in the majority of cases, most people can connect to a dog a little bit easier as far as training, obedience, commands, etc. With cats, it's a little bit more tricky. So I don't know that they're smarter. I think it's just a different set of equipment, so to speak.
So do you think that these animals have an extra sense, a sixth sense, for example?
Absolutely. The sixth sense, which is also referred to as the vomeronasal organ or the Jacobson's organ, specialized sensory apparatus in the roof of the mouth that connects the exterior environment to us by glands. And what scientists say is that it is, in fact, the sixth sense that is responsible for the psychic and the paranormal powers of pets, and that those powers do extend beyond the hearing, the smelling, as well as the vision. Those senses, which pets have, certainly to a much superior extent than a human.
Amazing, amazing. Now, are you finding that most veterinarians would have your same vision about animals?
I think I don't know if everybody has. You know, I think everybody's vision is an independent process, but certainly I would only be one of many veterinarians to recognize, discuss it, and perceive these qualities, you know, in dogs and cats, for sure.
Animals also seem to sense. We get a lot of stories during my open line calls or when we have ghostly guests on, that animals sense a presence of some kind of apparition way before a human. Have you come across anything like that?
Absolutely. You know, they have dogs trained today, for example, to detect diabetes, to detect epileptic seizures. You know, so whether, let's say in the case of diabetes, the pet is able, through its sense of smell, that keen nose, to detect blood sugar in the breath and or the human sweat. With a seizure, the pet is able to detect a shift in body odor. They're able to perceive the little dilation of the pupil that can occur prior to a seizure. But in addition to that, the sixth sense is also what allows pets to detect subtle changes in barometric pressure, for example, a pending earthquake, other types of natural disasters, including the tsunami back in 2004 that took a multitude of lives, and yet there was not one animal carcass found anywhere in sight. So most certainly, yes.
Tell us a story. Give us one of your stories that you've had over the years.
You know, I have a wonderful client, a lady named Carla, and when she first came to see me, she walked in the door with a large standard poodle. The dog started out white, but his fur was poor and dry, and it was falling out, and he'd been diagnosed with this atypical folliculitis, and she came in with a bag of every medication, shampoo, and antibiotic you could possibly imagine. And the time went by, and no matter what you tried to do to fix this dog's skin and hair coat, it was a very difficult task. Long story short, this woman ended up having breast cancer.
Oh, jeez.
She went in, had the mastectomy, went through the whole procedure. A few months later, my front door opens, and in walks Carla with her dog. The dog's coat is completely grown in, absolutely perfect, with no medication, no drugs, no supplements, and no shampoos. And what it really, it just slapped me in the face and made me realize that this dog had been able to smell the cancer in this woman, the woman that he depended on and loved. His shelter, his food, and his welfare was coming right from him. Like I said, at the end of the day, not only did the dog know the woman had cancer years before the oncologist did, but when she was cured and had gone through the surgeries and the chemo and the radiation, the dog's health, skin and hair coat, et cetera, just came back absolutely to perfection. And I think really it's something you almost had to see to believe.
Now, in most cases, Carol, when an animal senses the cancer, how do they communicate that to you?
That's the tricky part.
I wish they could say you've got cancer, get it checked out.
Yeah, you know, you're totally right about that. And in talking to Carla after I saw that and felt comfortable enough to start talking about it, you know, she would say things like that the dog would always put its head, you know, by her armpit, which is obviously, you know, by the breast, by the right breast or the left breast, as opposed to putting his head on her lap or something like that. And as she thought back about the dog's behavior and its positioning and how it would always want to stay in one particular place near her body, I think the wheels started to spin a little bit. You know, there was a funny story about a guy. We all get moles and little funny, you know, dark spots. And this one gentleman had a mole here and there, and he also had a mole under his trousers. And whenever he would sit down, this dog would, you know, take his nose and wiggle it around and try to get up under the guy's trousers. Long story short, he went to the doctor, and here the dog had detected a melanoma, which was able to be addressed, et cetera, so that it, didn't become, you know, a significant problem for this particular man. So that's the hardest thing. And I think I would have to say, and it's a very difficult thing for anybody that's in the situation, you know, that if a pet is putting his nose here or there, you know, to an extraordinary amount, you know, then I would say, well, you know, go and see your doctor. But the problem is the dog's nose is so far advanced in its ability to sense these volatile organic compounds, they call them VCOs, the dog's nose's ability exceeds our current diagnostic ability as far as, you know, tests and diagnostics that we currently are able to offer the general public as far as cancer detection would go.
Does the medical community overall use a dog like that?
You know, they have run a multitude of clinical trials in various locations in the country for prostate, lung, breast cancer, et cetera, to, you know, get percentages and to gather data and to try to go forward on this thing so that they can find a way to make some kind of a device that would be as sensitive as the dog's nose is to allow us to detect things like cancer a lot more quickly than we would otherwise be able to, whereas, you know, maybe our equipment detects stage 3 or stage 4, you know, that dog is detecting it at stage 1, which, you know, based on the fact that it's a leading killer of humans today, those are absolutely huge numbers.
I mean, they also detect diabetes in some people and other diseases, don't they?
They absolutely do. With diabetes, the dog is able to smell the blood sugar or the glucose on the person's breath or even in their perspiration, and they can then be trained to signal that person that they need to give themselves a shot of insulin, if you will. The same thing with people that suffer from epilepsy and have multiple seizures. The dogs are able to detect a change in the electromagnetics, if you will, of the brain to alert that particular, you know, individual. And that's, I had another client, a guy named Todd. The guy had a big Rottweiler, and the guy used to take the dog and go for a long walk every single morning. This one particular morning, the guy starts his walk, and the dog looks at him, and it doesn't budge. After a while, the guy gave up and decided to go on the walk without the dog. Took about 4 steps and collapsed.
Oh.
Had a heart attack.
And the dog sensed that?
The dog was able to sense
something.
That. The man was able to get help and is, you know, is here to talk about it. So, you know, they're also, you know, through this sixth sense, able to detect these minor changes in pressures. Also, you know, within the brain, they've got these iron oxide particles that align the brain with the poles of the earth, kind of like magnets. So whether they use those senses to, you know, find their way home across the country like that, you know, Homeward Bound movie that Disney had years back, or whether it's detecting a seizure or an earthquake or, you know, a pending natural disaster, these are huge abilities.
They sure are. Carol, we're going to take a break. Let's come back and talk about the paranormal senses of animals next. And welcome back. Dr. Carol Osborne with us, and we'll take phone calls with Carol next hour. Maybe you can share some of your own pet stories. Are dogs natural ghost hunters, Carol?
Absolutely. They most certainly are. And that is likely because of the incredibly strong bond and the emotional ties created between the pets and their humans.
This bond, you know, starts, I guess, when they're puppies, doesn't it?
You know, it certainly does. And the fact of the matter is that the stronger that bond is, and the tighter the connection, the more, quite honestly, dogs can read our minds, George. And the stronger the connection between the person and that pet, the stronger and the more accurate that pet is, in fact, able to pretty much know just what's going on inside our heads.
Well, they've always said that a dog can sense if you're afraid of it or not.
They absolutely can. You know, whether, you know, the fact is the connection between humans and animals lies way beyond our present-day scientific understanding. And certainly, you know, George, the fact that we're all made up of the same energy, the psychic and the spiritual, I think that has something to do with it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But now, how do dogs spot ghosts and spirits? How do we know what they're looking at?
Well, you know, that's just the thing, is we can't say that we really do know, but we can't say that we don't know. And there's so many stories and so many people relating incidents of, you know, the pet brushing up against them, lying in a familiar position in bed, the cat nuzzling up against your leg. There are even homes and whatnot where the pet, for some reason, has decided to stay back. You know, why does their spirit linger? You know, is it something that we're just chalking up in our mind, mentally manufacturing these feelings? I don't think so. I think there's too many incidents and too many people that share stories with us that really make us scratch our heads and say, well, you know, suddenly what is the pet looking at? What's he growling at? What's he barking at or reacting to? And unfortunately, we can't always apply some scientific answer to that.
What about their acute sense of hearing? That must play a part in this too.
Well, the hearing, you know, you have to realize that not only are they able to hear at frequencies much higher than you and I, but they're also able to hear with incredible accuracy at distances four times farther than you and I would be able to. So, you know, when you talk about the pet being able to perceive, let's say, an impending danger because maybe you're, you know, 8 miles away and you've fallen and hurt your leg or, what you know, whatever it might be, you know, the scientists and the researchers are throwing in the scientific data, and there's so much of that, and yet all of the facts cannot be answered through scientific data alone. So whether they can perceive, you know, the energy or it's, you know, part of the psychic power is hard to say, but certainly there is something to that. And what about the electromagnetic fields?
Sure.
You know, cats are superb at having the ability, the sensory ability to detect these electromagnetic fields. In fact, more so than dogs, they pick their favorite sleeping spot based on the EMF of that particular home.
Carol, are the animals actually sensing, let's say, the spirit world, or do they even see them? And we can't see them, let's say, but can they?
Well, I think that's a good question, currently open to debate. You know, once again, something's going on, and it's certainly more than we can attribute to just, you know, logic and science. You know, so is it always a result of that sixth sense that the pets possess, but you and I don't? Certainly the sixth sense is where the information lies. But that in and of itself, being able to detect electromagnetic fields, barometric pressure changes, vibrational changes in the earth, you know, as well as hearing very high-pitched frequencies that you and I can't, being able to smell with a sensitivity 10,000 times greater than you or I. You know, they say that you and I walk in a room, George, and we see the room. But when the dog walks into the room, he smells the room.
Mm-hmm.
A dog can smell, this is an incredible statistic, a single drop of blood placed in 20 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
Jeez.
Dogs are smelling in parts per trillion, and they will smell that with ease. No struggle at all. That just gives you an idea of the quality of the canine nose, if you will. So yeah, I think that they can spot and react to ghosts and spirits far better than us. One, because of that sixth sense, and two, because unlike you and I, they don't judge it, they don't analyze it, and even if you or I judged it and analyzed it, we might hesitate to verbalize it because somebody might think twice about us. But pets simply accept it. They either don't react at all, or that's the time you look over and, you know, suddenly your cat's scratching its back on the carpet, or, you know, your dog is barking at something in the corner where when you and I look, there's obviously nothing that we can perceive. So I think something's going on that allows them to do that. And as a veterinarian, I can tell you with absolute fact that just the thing about the people going out of town, I mean, how many times have you planned a trip? You put your suitcase, let's say, in the corner of the room, there's nothing in it, and you're not even going away till next week, and yet you come home, and there's Fluffy lying by the suitcase looking up at you with those big old sad eyes.
Going, don't leave, you know. Don't leave.
You know, they know. You know, they get sick to their stomach. They get different illnesses before, you know, an owner goes out of town. And how does that end up? Well, there's that owner with the pet one-on-one, giving it all the attention. Of course, taking it to the veterinary office. But as a veterinarian over the years, I can't tell you how often I see, you know, the stress reflected through a tummy or, a bowel issue because an owner is planning a trip.
These animals connecting to the supernatural or the paranormal, would you say it's natural for them?
I would say that it's absolutely natural. Dogs sensing the paranormal is completely natural for dogs, not for you and I, but for dogs, it absolutely is. And going into like who's got souls, you know, traditional religion taught that only humans have souls. But it was people like St. Francis of Assisi that said animals have spirits and souls just like you and I.
Back in the 1200s, yeah.
Exactly. That can interact and even be seen as animal ghosts. In fact, pet ghosts are the most common animal ghosts that are seen, probably because of the bond and the connection and the tie that they have with their humans.
Well, now I was going to bring that up. I get calls from people who see their dead animals' paw prints walking on the bed, you know, making indentations. So they're pretty convinced the animal came back. What creates that bond to do that?
That's the human animal bond, that emotional connection. That love and that just incredibly strong connection that people do, in fact, share with their pets, some with cats, many times with dogs, and it is that bond. The stronger the bond is, in my estimation, allows the dog to read your mind. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. You may not be aware of what you're thinking, but believe me, that the dog is. And a lot of times, you know, a person will say, oh, this or that happened, and why is my dog acting this way? This is what I say. I say, no matter what's going on in your personal life, your mental and emotional state has an absolute direct effect on the health, both emotionally and physically, of your pet. And the way that I liken that to is your pet can perceive that you're upset. Now, he may not know exactly what you're upset about, but he knows you're upset. And if you're upset for a while, he say, boy, you know, something's wrong with my mom and dad, and I don't know what it is, but it must be something terrible wrong because they've been upset for some time. And then the pet starts to worry because he thinks, well, gosh, maybe something awful is wrong with my mom and dad, and if something happens to them, who's going to take care of me?
Well, good point. Okay, so with these animals, are we convinced that the way they act convinces us that the other side exists?
I think for the most part, in my opinion, and according to many experts or researchers and otherwise out there, I would say the answer is absolutely yes.
Let's talk about pending earthquakes and other natural disasters. Do animals sense that? I think
they most certainly do.
Well, let's cite the tsunami, horrible tsunami in Indonesia years ago that killed a couple hundred thousand people. the animals took off for the hills way before the tsunami hit.
Unbelievable. Not a single animal carcass was found, despite the fact of all the disasters and the loss of human life that was experienced, you know, during that.
It was remarkable, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. And you know, there's other, you know, I mean, think about it. Think about bats. They use radar. No need for eyes. You know, think about salmon and how they have to spawn their way back. They're able to find those same rivers, the rivers from which they were born, despite traveling huge distances in the open, in the ocean during their adult life. How do they do that? Well, many suspect that the salmon utilize these iron or these ferromagnetic mineral deposits in their brain, which line up with the Earth's magnetic field. Some newer researchers believe that, again, through that sixth sense, they've got a refined sense of smell that can tell the difference in the smell between the home stream and another stream. So these, you know, this sixth sense, which all these different animals have in different, you know, that are better at this or that are better at that, offer incredible abilities and senses to these animals.
Can you relate a story for us, Carol, on the animals who have sensed something on the paranormal side? Is there anything there?
Most certainly. You know, I had a client who had recently lost one pet. She had several others, and I think a couple years had passed. Long story short, one day, she had a couple other pups, and they were fiddling around with something. She looked down, and there was a collar, the collar of the dog that had passed 2 years previously, a collar that the woman hadn't seen for ages. Suddenly just appeared.
Just shows up all of a sudden.
With no logical understanding at all. It kind of makes you wonder about that. You know,
it's a little like the passport of one of the hijackers just found easily outside 9/11. How does that stuff happen, right?
Absolutely. I think it's the very same way, and I'd be surprised if they don't find a way to utilize the senses somehow, even if it's through a breathing type of device to try to catch some of these people and stop some of these things. You know what I'm saying? And they're doing all kinds of research on this that's being published to try to use these special extrasensory abilities of animals for the benefit of everyone. There's pets that pass, but their spirit sticks around.
Well, that's true.
You know, sometimes it's because there's a strong attachment to a location or a particular person. Sometimes there's confusion. Sometimes there might be a need to protect the person or to protect the premises, and different things will happen that are virtually unexplainable, as far as, you know, things that you feel, things that you see, things that, you know, energies that might be emitted, when in fact this particular spirit just wasn't ready to leave yet.
Would you rather have a paranormal experience with a dog or cat? Does it matter?
I don't think it matters at all. I think just having it is an incredible experience. What do you think?
I've been a dog guy all my life. We had one cat for the daughters, but I just have had that relationship with dogs a little bit more. And there are some people who love cats. Nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's, you know, just like, you know, maybe you might hear growling, or you might see a deceased pet's running up and down the stairs at a certain regular time of the day. You know, maybe it's residual energy replaying itself. Maybe it's a spirit running to their favorite spot.
Maybe it's all of the above.
Maybe it's all above. And I think you have to look at the entire picture before you can conclusively say, hey, it's this or it's that. And it's natural to look for the logical answer first, but sometimes there's just not a logical answer there.
Well, sometimes there's not. Carol, give out your website, would you?
ChagrinFallsPetClinic.com. That's kind of a long one. Chagrin is an Indian word. C-H-A-G-R-I-N, ChagrinFallsPetClinic.com, right here in Chagrin Falls, about 30 minutes east of Cleveland.
All right, we're going to come back and take phone calls and stories next on Coast to Coast AM.